and welcome back to the Laughing Place podcast. We are so happy to be here with you again today. I am joined, as always, by Captain John.
Not quite always. I was missing one time, remember?
Good point.
Sorry, I forgot that part.
Fanboy.
Ahoy.
And hey, wait.
It's a cruise line themed podcast.
All right.
Pirates don't say ahoy. They say like R and
ahoy.
How about do 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 do?
Okay, there you go.
I was waiting for that one. And as always, the lovely and talented first mate Rebecca.
Hey, baby.
Ooh.
Oh, we're so excited to get to the big news of the day, but we have to do the requisite introductions first. Podcast at laughingplace.com. Let us hear from you. We love to get your emails. We've gotten a few more, especially on the favorite Disney attraction of all time. Please keep them coming, and we will be doing a podcast on that shortly. You can also call us at 866-718-9408, toll-free, and leave us a voicemail.
It's not toll-free if you use ship-to-shore rates, so don't call from the cruise ship.
Dude, please don't call from the cruise ship. That's like $700 a second, if I'm not mistaken. The only thing more expensive than that is internet on the cruise. So. But if you are in America and you have a normal phone, not a cell phone, strangely enough, if you have a normal phone, 866-718-9408, toll-free. Leave us a voicemail on whatever you want to talk about, especially your favorite Disney attraction. That's all out of the way. Let's get to the huge news of the day. This may be the greatest day in the history of the great Walt Disney Company.
Okay.
Or maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Because, you know, at one point we announced the first two, and that might
But I didn't care about cruising back then.
Because you...
So it's the biggest day in your Disney history.
That's what I said, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh, is there a difference? Anyway, the big news, if you haven't heard, is Disney, after years and years of rumor, has actually really, truly, no lie, announced not one, but two new additions to the Disney Cruise Line fleet.
Yay! I'm so excited I want to do the cha-cha slide.
They have not been named. They have... Whoa. Fanboy is saying something?
Well, I mean, everyone's already talked about Disney Dreams, I think, since Disney Wonder came. And Doobie and I think, by accident, discovered that the fourth ship, actually, will be called the Disney Secret after a naming rights negotiation with the Disney Vacation Club.
We're going to get a lot of mileage out of that one.
Yes, we are.
That's not the first time we've heard that on this show. They have not announced the real names. They have not announced the itinerary. All they have announced is when they will when they will start sailing, 2011 and 2012. And they did put out some publicity pictures, which I see Fanboy looking at. What do you want to say?
Well, you know, there's been some talk that our two existing ships, because I own them, cannot go to the Alaska, because I'm from another country, because so much of it's outside. But if you look at the publicity shot that has all four ships, so you can see the Incy Wincy Teeny Weeny yellow lifeboated Magic and Wonder in the distance, and you have...
That's that tugboat back there?
Yeah, hey. Right. And hey, the two new ships, and the promenade deck, and as well as it looks like a pool, are enclosed.
It did look that way.
So... And I'm glad that we do have yellow lifeboats again, because did you know?
Shut up. As Fanboy stated, these ships are quite a bit bigger. The current Disney ships are about 83,000 tons. These are about 50% bigger at 122,000 tons. And just to give you some idea of where that ranks in the whole cruise line thing, the largest sailing ship right now is the Freedom of the Seas at Royal Caribbean, and that's 155,000 tons. So certainly bigger, but not that much bigger. These are some big ships.
And also... it should be noted that in the press release, they did mention that they are going to keep the same theme. I mean, they're not going to be identical.
Right.
Probably even more different than the Magic and Wonder are compared together, but they're still going to be that modern classic ocean liner.
The
milk carton on the sea.
Yeah, which we don't want from our beloved Disney company. They're going to be about 50% bigger in terms of staterooms as well, and they will apparently be two decks taller. So this is all very exciting. We are relatively new cruisers, at least Captain John. Rebecca and I, we took our first one in October, and I would think it's safe to say we're addicted at this point. What do you guys think about this?
I'm very excited about it. I mean, obviously, if with the larger cruise ships, and then with the possibility that they've going to be building them in a way that can accommodate some of the itineraries that people dream of in Alaska or whatnot. That would be great to have new locations, broader range available to the Magic and Wonder. I mean, no, not the Magic and Wonder, the other two. So that'd be cool. But I wonder if that's the case. I wonder if that I know that the one that both these were christened over here on the East Coast. I wonder if these do end up being more West Coast Jews.
No.
If they would have
better
the
not. These are
on the West Coast.
They can have the Magic and Wonder.
Well, what if like half and half? Like one, like the Magic goes to, and then the, whatever the other one is.
I think it's a given that at least one of these will be on the East West Coast. Pardon me, but
let's go to Alaska.
Yeah, it's harder to go from Port Canaveral to Alaska.
Don't you get to go through the Panama Canal if you go that way?
No one's taking this 4-month cruise to Alaska.
I'd be there.
Yeah, well, I. Touche. But one thing that I think is interesting from an industry, I mean, from Disney's investment in the cruise line, is that they're not only doubling their capacity, since the ships are larger, they're, in fact, more than doubling their capacity.
As the press release states.
Yes, which is why I'm a genius, because I can read. because the nice thing about Disney is that they are able, through a lot of sort of uniquely Disney things, really book their ships up. Even in softer seasons, they got some programs that only Disney can do. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more variety, a lot more experimentation, because they can now.
Presumably, they will have learned, not that the current ships aren't great, but they will have learned some lessons about what works and what doesn't and how to lay things out and take that into these two new ships, and they'll be that much better.
It'll be interesting to see if they have Animator's Palette, because
that's a good point.
Animator's Palette was like the biggest, most expensive thing for no apparent reason. And
hey, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, but
it's hard to imagine them not having it at this point, considering what a big selling point it is, unless they go even one better.
Right.
It's hard to imagine just...
It might be more of a... I don't want to say efficient, because that makes it sound cheap, but maybe a better, using a different mentality.
I wonder if you'll see them swap the theaters, the Walt Disney and Buena Vista theaters, so that you'll have your movie going towards the front and your theatrical presentations in the middle, just because of the motion impact that they've encountered with having their theater in the front.
Well, you know that all the entertainment's at the front of the ship because WDI
I realize
cares. Well, I don't.
But then again, I wonder how comfortable it would be to sit in a darkened theater in with the forward motion of the ship.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hear they're actually, you know, since Wonders of Life is closed, they're going to move Body Wars over there and have like a motion simulator on Deck 9.
Hey, by the way, since we're talking about all this motion, we better let people know that you don't. There's not that much motion.
Oh no, I mean we're talking. You barely know. No, you know you're on a ship, actually.
No, you do, but
it's not much, especially when you're sitting down watching the show. I think it's more an issue for the performers than it is.
It's part of the story, actually. WDI actually makes waves so that you feel like, because otherwise,
is that what they did with the Seventh Seas Lagoon wave machine? Is they put it out in the Atlantic?
Yeah, that in the Paradise Bay one too.
California Scream, yeah. Awesome. So anyway, as you can tell, we're really excited about that. I think it's safe to say we're all going to be on the maiden voyage, right?
If
I'm paying,
say, yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll pay for the next cruise, and you pay for that one.
I will make that deal, because I figure by 2011, I'm good.
Okay, sounds good.
As Sandboy mentioned, Disney Dreams, we've all kind of assumed that was going to be the name of the next ship. But now, whoop, we got two new ships. Anybody have any thoughts? Captain John and I were trying to think of what a good fourth name might be. And we really couldn't come up with anything that kind of fits in that same thing.
Discovery.
Yeah,
Discovery.
That was the one that came to my mind, too. That's really funny. Cool.
That works.
And then the fifth one can be Journey, and then Imagine.
And Amaze.
Oh, you know what? Imagine might be nice, too.
It's the parking lot.
And then Dopey.
But yeah, Discovery.
Unicorn.
Discovery was the
first one. We're
going to talk
about Dopey later, aren't we?
Moving on to the next topic, Disneyland. There were some interesting rumors on the internet this week on Disneyland on mysage.com. One of them... Not only relates to Disneyland, but also the Pirates film. So Captain John in particular may have something to say about this. Mm-hmm. But in an article on MySage.com, they talked about how Pirates Lair is coming along fine, but this is really only phase one, where phase two will actually completely get rid of the Tom Sawyer theme. I'm sorry, if you're not familiar, Pirates Lair is the overlay they're doing for Tom Sawyer Island to give it a more pirate theme. And according to this article, in Phase 2, they're going to really get rid of Tom Sawyer Island theme altogether. It's going to be strictly Pirates, and that will go along with the green lighting of not one more Pirates film, but three more Pirates films. So when it comes to Pirates, we always turn to my left, Captain John.
When it comes to the films, that's something that's very fascinating to me after hearing about pretty much making 2 and 3 was pretty much like a hell for everybody to make. So the concept of them just like instantly saying, oh, let's do another trilogy. I mean, I could understand like, you know, let's sometime do, you know, a fourth one eventually. But just saying we want another big set of films, it just seems like they, like the writers, they basically said themselves that we pretty much pulled out all the stops.
But I don't know that Disney will let people like that stand in their way. It might, they might not have the right, the current writers might not have anything ideas, but they'll find somebody who's willing to write another one.
But well, see, that's when it gets sort of tricky when it comes to keeping the fan base, for because for the one thing, the Ted Elliott and Terry Russo were really a key factor in actually getting the whole project off the ground. So once you sort of remove them out of the picture, then you're sort of going to lose like the whole sort of feel in a way. So then you're sort of appealing to a different fan base altogether, and it could not potentially work.
But I don't think the fan base is the core pirate people is really what makes that movie work as a box office success. I mean, there's all sorts of examples where the original creative team of some project moves on, and you know the diehard fans get all upset, but it's still a successful. I mean, I know Gilmore Girls on the CW had a big creative change, and no one cared.
But whether or not it sort of damages the whether or not it damages the franchise, though, because it could just be if they do it wrong, it could just be like, oh, it's another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, blah blah blah.
And it's not like Disney to run a franchise into the ground, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that as I watched Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves on DVD last night, and I will run it into the ground.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, they have a long track record of doing that.
Air Buddies?
Right now they have it on television with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and now, unfortunately, it looks like they don't know when to say when with Lost either, and they're ruining that. So.
Yeah, it's a shame, though, because it's very, like, the first one was definitely very, a lot of people actually, like, even study that film because it's just very, it was just very well made.
Do the rumors show an expectation of Johnny Depp continuing his role?
I know I've read rumors and amongst people in the know that there are talks, but I mean, it's always going to come down to it. I mean, it's something they're going to look at. I don't think nothing is in the pipeline is set yet.
So that's
the one thing that he actually said. Like Johnny Depp has said, you know, if the script is not that great, I won't do it. With Pirates of the Caribbean without Captain Jack will just not work.
Well, no one goes out trying to make a bad movie. But I know that if Johnny Depp doesn't decide to keep on, they are considering doing a Pirates of the Caribbean TV spinoff on or either like ABC or ABC Family or something like that. So they're going to try and keep that franchise alive.
I could see that
time.
Potentially working better than another trilogy, though, if you just...
Well, I mean, I think they've just finished making this movie, and you really need to wait probably for its release to really see where they're going to take this franchise.
That's the other thing. It's like with what I know about the third film, which sort of covers, you know, spoilers have been recently posted. Basically, the whole, you know, story of At World's End, the third movie. And it just seems like it's such a complete way to end it. It's almost going to be, you know, it's going to be satisfying enough as it is for like anybody who watches it, pretty much, because it's a big climactic thing at the end.
But it doesn't mean you can't go.
I had the
and
same
see.
Feeling with Rocky II. And what are we up to now?
I had the same feeling with Return of the Jedi. And
yes.
Oh, but those were prequels.
Yeah, maybe this will be Pirates prequels.
And then you could get away with recasting too. I mean, it'd be tough. Who would want to play a younger Johnny Depp?
But I think you can do it. Let's see if there's a story to tell. Let the original writers take a stab at it. If that doesn't work, see if there's another writer that can find a story in it.
But as I said, it just gets very tricky because if you eliminate the person who sort of laid the foundation, then you're getting something very different. So then your product is very different. So it's not exactly the same thing anymore.
Billions of dollars make tricky a lot easier.
Yeah, that won't stop them. Maybe it should.
I was going to say, if it's a matter of they kind of get enticed into it, then it may not end up being as interesting because it's no longer something that reflects the passion. Because I think that you can really tell in things like in creative elements when people's heart are in it and when they're not.
Sources have told me that they're going to do another Roadblock trailer premiere next month with on, you know, ABC, Disney Channel, Toon Disney, ESPN, Family of Networks, ESPN oh, cool. Zone. I'm not quite sure when, but at least it knocks out that whole Oscar possibility.
It knocks out just about a bajillion possibilities.
The other interesting Disneyland Resort news that I read this week was regarding Toy Story Mania, which, according to the article in MySage.com, is not Toy Story Mania in California. It actually is going to be Midway Mania out there in Paradise Pier, which kind of fits with the Paradise Pier theme. Did anyone else heard anything regarding that? True, false?
I'm 100% sure they have no idea what they're going to call it. I mean, it was Midway Mania forever, and then Toy Story Mania because it was announced at Walt Disney World. And
but even
Midway
during,
doesn't play
But
in
even
that.
During that conference when Tom Fitzgerald was talking about Toy Story Mania, like right near the end of the presentation that he gave, he said he misspoke and he said Midway Mania. And you could tell when it got out of his mouth, he was kind of like, he had that little pause, and but then he continued. He didn't correct it, but you could tell he realized he kind of slipped with something that was it felt like it was comfortable.
Right, and I know that there's this this feeling of how are we going to theme Midway Mania or Toy Story Mania into MGM Studios, and because it was designed for California Adventure where it should be Midway Mania, and there's a little bit of power play and stuff like that. It's a very political process, and not that it shouldn't be.
Naming an attraction is a very political process?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they first announced the Seas of Nemo and Friends, the building was going to be called the Living Seas, and the ride was going to be called the Seas of Nemo and Friends. Then the building was going to be called the Seas of Nemo and Friends, and then the ride became Nemo's Undersea Adventure. Then the building became the Seas of Nemo and Friends, then the ride became the Seas of Nemo and Friends. And it's not, I don't want to say political as in people are lobbying as a power trip,
okay.
But people have a vision of what they want, and there's a lot of people involved in this creative process at WDI by the nature of the business that, you know, it goes back and forth, and then someone finally needs to make the executive decision.
And it makes it very interesting for those of us who are trying to report on it because with the focus being on the nomenclature and everything, if we reported incorrectly, we hear about it. And sometimes we don't even know. We see it like Disney's internal paper for cast members, Eyes and Ears. They'll have a name for an attraction or something because it was at that phase in the its creation or whatever, and it had that title. But by the time we report on that, it's already changed names, and so we get an email from somebody within Disney saying, "Oh, excuse us, but that's not really that's no longer the title, or that isn't the title," and so it can make it tricky, you know, just for us on the outside too.
Well, it's funny because you know they start planning the operational part of it on Walt Disney World's end long before, you know, the last name's ever changed. So you have attractions that cast members call by the original name, whereas when they talk amongst themselves, and then when they talk to guests, they use the official name just because for so long they've been calling it this other name that they were using either as a work in progress or they decided to change the name somewhere along the process. So it's, you know, if you know cast members and they start talking about different attractions by some weird name and you go, oh, well, yeah, this is what we call it for some reason.
Since we're talking about the subject, I'm just curious of the people here. Which of the names do you prefer, Captain?
Well, it's themed to Midway, so Midway Mania. Why not? I mean,
I'm
simple.
Okay with whatever. It's, you know, I mean, I understand Toy Story because you're getting the brand out there. Midway in California makes sense. Doesn't make sense in MGM Studios, but you want to name it the same thing so you don't have, you know, for merchandise and everything. I don't care.
Another good reason
to restate the complexity of the problem, and ultimately you don't.
But in the scheme of Walt Disney World, I mean, we're announced two new cruise ships that haven't yet to be named. This is not the biggest deal in the world. You know, they could call Expedition Everest the Matterhorn for all I care.
Okay.
Inaccurate.
I know. I mean, they can't even figure out what land that one's in. Fantasyland, Tomorrowland.
But
Everest?
The Matterhorn. I remember growing up, it was in one land, and then suddenly it was.
See, that's one reason that it would be good to just if they both had the same name, because then you, like, everybody just knows that ride by the same name, rather than, I mean, they're both the same thing.
Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters in California and Paris and everywhere else. Here it's Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, but Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters at Disney Quest is a whole other kind of experience.
But yet, like, it's Buzz Lightyear. Nobody calls it Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin. It's Buzz Lightyear.
I do.
So with Midway Mania, it's a short name.
Yeah, you're not annual pass holders. You're annual passport holders.
Alrighty then.
I like Midway Mania. It alliterates, whereas Toy Story Mania just sounds like let's throw in a brand.
Well, actually, I think it's called Toy Story Mania, inspired by Disney Pixar's presentation of Toy Story 2.
That's a joke, right?
Maybe.
We'll see.
Kind of, sort of.
We'll see. And speaking of Toy Story and Pixar and all that, the other interesting rumor related to Disney World, and this rumor probably is as old as time, like every other Disney MGM Studios naming rumor. Yes, fanboy?
Oh, I was going to say, is it now going to be called Disney Studios Florida? I mean, they built the cruise ship. It's about all of those are. And let me guess, the Matterhorn's sinking.
Oh, these are some great, we need a list. Oh, these long-standing, the long-standing Disney internet.
Somebody start writing. But, of course, here it is that they're talking about changing the name of Disney MGM Studios to Disney Pixar Studios. Okay, who cares about the validity of it? We know that they're always talking about changing this name. But do you guys think that would be a good idea?
No. I'm of no.
No. Yeah, what do you think? I don't think so.
Because, I mean, what are we going to do, close Twilight Zone Tower of Terror or put Buzz Lightyear on it?
There's a lot of MGM in that part, yeah, for one thing.
Well, I mean,
Twilight Zone's MGM?
No, it's not, but we'll just pretend because it's going to make you feel better.
No, but forget that. There's a lot of MGM in that part.
I mean, my thing is...
Well, great movie ride.
Okay.
But that's my thing.
That's going eventually.
That's my thing. It's like, I'm not a big fan of this concept of Disney Pixar Studios, but if it means that we get the Disney movie ride, I mean the great movie ride, and make it the Disney Pixar movie ride, I'm all for it.
You're for that?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
I'm not a problem with great movie ride. No, I'm not. I'm not a fan of the Pixar films. I'm not a fan of any of them.
Why don't you like the great movie ride?
The great movie ride is rather dated.
No, which part?
The motion of the figures.
No, Tarzan is the most lifelike animatronic ever built.
I ride that ride with you. You still cower in fear in the alien part.
Okay, that part's scary.
Okay.
It's not because the things are moving. It's because there's these creepy alien things from a film I've never seen.
That gangster that always comes.
I've never seen that film either.
That light. You're going to tell me the person, the figure in that fact, comes in and takes over driving is not a lifelike figure?
Okay, that's because it is a life figure. It's a live figure. Hey, but that gives me an idea. We should have like a film festival weekend where we watch all the movies that are represented in animatronic form in the great movie ride.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to watch Alien.
Well, okay, except for the ones that would scare me too much.
It's Aliens.
It is?
The original Alien just has the little...
It's got to be.
No, what? You're right. Alien takes place all on the ship. Yeah. You're right. I'm gonna erase that part from the podcast. I look stupid enough on a regular basis.
On this podcast, nobody could hear you edit.
In space. He did it. Captain.
Dude. Welcome to the club.
So it's unanimous that, in general, we don't think that would be a good idea.
Except for Rebecca.
No, but, I really don't think it would be a good idea, but that would be a selling point.
Woody stunt spectacular.
Hey, Indiana Jones is also not an MGM product.
No, it has nothing to do with it, but it's not a Pixar product either.
It doesn't matter. It's not a Disney product.
So why is it there now?
Because it's cool.
Okay.
So it would still be there later.
MGM does not equate with cool.
No, but I think if you call it Disney Pixar Studios, people expect it to be either Disney. It becomes a cartoon studio.
Right. Because see,
that's
just
an interesting
Disney
thought.
Studios, like, they put Disney in front of everything, so it doesn't necessarily mean Disney Studios. It could just be Disney's version of a studio.
So it's like a big Toontown.
Right. And
but in 3D.
Why don't they just name it Disney Studios?
Because then you could sort of cover everything. This would be a general name.
I mean, I understand that it's been a rumor for a while that they dumped the MGM stuff, but why haven't they? Is it because it's part of the rights with the movie ride? I mean, is that what's going on there?
I think you're not going to want to change the name if you don't have to.
Okay.
I mean, it's
a lot of business.
Everyone calls it MGM anyway.
Well, that would be the reason why I would want to change it. I would rather it be branded Disney than calling it MGM.
But no one's going to say, hey, we're going to go. First of all, they're not going to call it. I mean, they still call it Epcot Center. But they're still going to call it MGM Studios. They're not going to call it Disney. They'll call it the MGM Studios. No, they'll call it MGM.
They'll call it Pixar Land.
And if they come Disney, if they make it Disney Pixar Studios, they're going to call it MGM.
I know
or,
we will.
Or, never mind. I'm gonna bother about that one. Anyway, I'm moving on.
Isn't that your favorite park?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It's certainly the best ride.
What Pixar film was Aerosmith in?
Oh, they could retheme Rock and Roller Coaster to Randy Newman.
Well, they could theme it to Cars because you're already in a car. They could put a Rascal Flatts on it.
See, they could have a Cars overlay for Lights, Motors, Action. Instead of Herbie,
like Lightning
have
McQueen
Lightning McQueen
come out.
Come out. Have one of the cars break down, have Mater come out.
Didn't they already have them? Like,
yeah,
just
they drive
the car
I can't
for a
believe
while.
You're so up over anything Pixar. This is bizarre.
It's because the Great Movie Ride is embarrassing.
It's because we're recording this at night and you're tired.
No, no, I'm seriously. That's one of the more difficult things for me as a Disney fan is the fact of that was such a big deal. I remember it was a big deal when I went. I remember what an impact it had and how much I loved it and whatnot. But now I go on it, and it's honestly, it just doesn't come across that impressive. So when families of five are walking past me at Disney MGM Studios and they ask me, hey, should we go on the Great Movie Ride? I'm not always sure the answer is yes, even though it has no line.
It pains me to say this. You could not be more wrong.
There we go again. Send
the,
it in.
The Great Movie Ride is dated, but it holds up just fine. When you're going to tell me when you're in the Wizard of Oz scene, that's not still magical for you? It's amazing.
No, I agree with you. For that moment, it's great. But the rest of it is so lackluster in comparison to that one moment. I don't know always if it's
For the family coming to Disney World for that first magical trip, the Great Movie Ride is still a magical place.
I think that for most people, they're counting the minutes until they get to the Wizard of Oz, and then once the Wizard of Oz is over, they're counting the minutes until it's done.
It seems like Rebecca and the Great Movie Ride is like me and Maelstrom and Epcot.
Well, nobody likes Maelstrom.
Okay, what's the big moment for you in Maelstrom?
What's the big moment for me in Maelstrom?
Running through the movie.
No, because I'm sure there are lots of rides that there's a point in the ride that we really like, and so that's why we go on it, even if the rest of the ride maybe isn't so hot.
Sure.
But we go on it. Like, for me, it's the Great Movie Ride. I'll go on the Great Movie Ride and kind of, you know, la 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 through most of it. And then the Wizard of Oz is wonderful, and I really enjoy that. And so, you know, I figure we all have something like that at the theme parks.
But see, first you were mentioning it being dated, but Walt Disney World in general has a lot of problems when it comes to being dated, so... I don't know. It just depends.
Sounds
on...
dangerous with Drew Carey.
Would
Drew Gay? Okay.
All right. Well, once again, we'll agree to disagree, although I would appreciate if anyone wants to email podcastlastingplace.com, phone call 866-718-9408. I'm curious what you guys think, because I'm surprised Rebecca and I differ on this one. I am still a fan of Great Movie Ride. She's not. Tell me once again.
I didn't say I wasn't a fan. I just said...
Wait.
So, hey, that's what it looks like to backpedal.
No, I'm not backpedaling.
She feeds you, fat boy. I'd be careful.
Yeah, no, it's...
Moving right along, it's time for something new this week on the Laughing Place podcast. Take it, Captain.
Ahars, the Captain Challenge. Uh-oh. Captain. All right, I'm going to be challenging my fellow podcasters to a little bit of trivia, which I tried to relate somewhat to our subjects we are covering. The first one to correctly answer receives the captain's medallion. In honor of the cruise, it's a medallion from the cruise.
Woo-hoo, I'm a winner.
The goal is to keep this medallion from episode to episode, all right? Once you win, if you answer correctly, you keep the medallion, so it's a contest to see how long you can keep the medallion in your possession.
Like an immunity idol. Not really. Okay.
All right. So, hands on the buzzers, which don't exist yet.
Big money.
No name way. The Disneyland Jungle Cruise boat.
I'm sorry, hang on. Before you do that, we should all have individual sounds, so that way you know which one of us is ringing in.
Wow, someone used to listen to radio.
Yep.
I'll be beep.
You're just going to say beep?
I'll be bop.
I'll be quiet.
And Rebecca will be peace.
Okay, anyway. So in relation to the cruise news, which is Poet and I didn't know it, the world-famous Jungle Cruise, name the Disneyland Jungle Cruise boat which received the 50th anniversary golden treatment.
Beep! I have no idea. I just wanted to be first. I truly don't know. I'll say the Wadi Lady.
No.
So what happens when no one gets it? Do we give the medallion to Happy?
No, just like I'll give you a hint. Just wait for a second.
I'm done waiting.
Congo is the first word.
Princess.
No.
Queen.
There you go.
Yay.
You did not phrase it as a question.
Yay.
So Rebecca gets the medallion, also
the
known
Congo
as...
Congo Princess fanboy. I am so surprised.
Congo Queen.
Oh, wait,
you?
Know
you? That Jungle Cruise
now,
is
see,
my least favorite attraction
Here we go.
Jungle
Cruise is his least favorite attraction of all
that
time.
That just shows he's deformed.
I don't know. Fanboy might be on there now.
Fanboy. Opening day attraction not among his favorites.
No, he actively dislikes it.
No.
You do, huh?
I do not like going on the Jungle Cruise.
See, I don't actively dislike the other attractions.
See, I like the Jungle Cruise. It's a nice environment.
I don't know anyone that actively dislikes
Me
the Jungle
either.
Cruise, except for fanboys.
You're the only one. Have you encountered any other Disney fans who actively dislike the Jungle Cruise?
No.
You're all alone.
Which is not unusual for me.
Huh.
It's not unusual to hate the Jungle Cruise.
It's okay. I'll fix that problem when I'm headed to Walt Disney Company.
Veto. Continuing on
in the same theme. Now, this is for all you listeners out there. I'll give you a little question, which I will answer at the end of the show, also related to the Jungle Cruise.
Should they make a sound, too?
Should they make a sound?
They can if they want
to. They can if they want to. You could do whatever you want.
Can
that's,
email
that's
us your sounds. Sorry, continue.
Just do whatever feels good to you. Anyway, which letter ticket was required in 1958 to ride the Jungle Cruise?
Beep. Oh, wait, I can't answer
that's
yet.
That's my sound.
Oh. Bop.
Neither one of you can answer. We're leaving it to
so
the listeners.
So this will be answered at the
later.
End of the show, yes.
Okay. Thanks, Captain. I like that. We'll continue that. We'll do that again.
That's fine because I won. I never win trivia stuff with these two.
Doobie
and Fanboy know so much more than me.
That's half my medal, by the way.
Nope. Not. I won it all by myself. All by myself.
Disney had a good movie come out last weekend. I mean, a hit.
Yay!
Bridge to Terabithia was released on Friday. It got stunning reviews, a Rotten Tomatoes score of 84%, and more importantly, our own Kirby on Toon Talk gave it a B+, which
and he's
is...
he's a tough grader.
He's a tough guy. If he gives it a B+, this is a good movie. $28.5 million on the long weekend, which is quite a bit more than what Disney reported was looking for, which is about $20 million. So this is a hit. Anybody here see it?
I did.
What'd you think, fanboy?
I liked it, except it's sad, and I cried.
Did you really cry?
Yes.
Wimp.
Well, you know,
hey, come on. It's a sad story.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, I'm not heartless.
Oh.
Oh.
I didn't cry. That hurts.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to my world.
But you did think it was a good movie.
I thought it was a great movie. It wasn't perfect. There were some parts where I'm just like, what? But maybe it's just me. It's definitely the best Walt Disney Pictures movie released this fiscal year.
Santa Claus 3?
Oh, yeah. It's much better than Santa Claus 3.
All right. Not so sure about that.
You see Santa Claus 3?
No. I heard it wasn't very good.
Well, apparently you're also a winner.
I did see Bridge to Terabithia, though, and as Fanboy said, it was quite good. I was a little bit disappointed. I'm having a hard time putting my finger on why, but I think it was because I went in with very high expectations, having read Rotten Tomatoes and heard it's not just a fantasy movie, which I deplore. I got my expectations pretty high. A little bit disappointed, but it was a good movie. Heartily recommend it. Captain John, Rebecca, get out there. See the Bridge to Terabithia. It's worth it. In other movie news, recently the trailer for Underdog was premiered. Did everybody here see it?
Mm-hmm.
I did. New franchise, baby.
You think so? It has that feel to it, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
If we can make a franchise out of Air Bud, we can make a franchise out of Underdog.
Air Bud was a beautiful golden retriever that was very cute. And Underdog is kind of like Scooby-Doo.
He's a computer-generated beagle. Although he's sometimes not computer generated, but he is sometime.
Oh, really? What is he?
Actual beagle?
The flying was actual. the talking was CGI.
It really reminds me, the trailer did remind me, sadly enough, of Super Pup. And I'm fearing Disney getting sued over this. I mean, if they can get sued over Mickey Mouse.
Well, and I think the problem is that Super Pup will raise the bar. And the people go in with high expectations. And I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll be a good movie, but. I mean, Super Pup levels? No.
Only one Super Pup.
Right. So I hope they don't go in. Just like you went in to Bridge to Terabithia with too high expectations. I hope the same fate doesn't befall Underdog.
Who are the live actors in Underdog? Anybody know off the top of their head?
Underdog's voiced by Jason Lee.
Okay. But Yeehaw. Anybody know who the
guy
real
from,
people are in it?
Earl?
Yep.
Because I know, like, Scooby-Doo scored so well because with it, you know, because it had the big name, you know, big names for the market at the time or whatever, and I'm just curious
but
if...
Scooby-Doo is also really, 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 really bad movie.
No, it was, but it pulled in some box office because of Sarah Michelle Gellar and those people. So.
Yeah, I mean, no, I've seen the list, and it's no one that says, woohoo!
Okay.
But...
Do you think, given the inevitability of this being a huge blockbuster, we can look forward to some underdog attractions in the theme parks?
You know, why not? I hear they're going to retheme the kennel so that...
When's this coming out?
The fall. Or, no, I'm sorry, August.
This year?
Yes.
That would be fall.
Okay. It's the typical moderate Disney, you know, like Parent Trap or Freaky Friday, that sort of...
Is that about
Princess
the
Diaries.
Time? Is that about the time that Shaggy Dog came out with Tim Allen?
I believe so. So it's not. We're not expecting $200-300 million,
right.
But you know, a moderate success for the late summer season.
Is
I wonder
it
how
a,
they'll do in comparison to the Shaggy Dog.
I hear it's better than the Shaggy Dog.
Do you?
Is it kind of a not a spoof, but is it very, very lighthearted?
It's lighthearted, but I hear it has a heart too. It's not.
Okay.
It's not like Airplane. But
and it's very family.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but this is what I'm hearing.
Cool.
It seems that when it comes to cartoons translating into movies, it's sort of been the trait that they all sort of die a very horrible and painful death. As, like...
Unless they're superheroes.
George of the Jungle.
Yeah, but after that? Nobody really considers, like, any movies after that to
Didn't
be...
Didn't they do a Dudley Do-Right one?
That was...
That was a terrible film.
But you know, you can also... The problem is they make those movies really bad. If they make them, you know, maybe decent.
Simpsons.
That hasn't come out yet.
But it's going to be
And
good.
That's the actual, like,
that's animated.
Cartoon.
Oh, I see what you mean.
This is like the...
I hear the folks at marketing really love the slogan they got, One Nation Underdog. I mean, and I'm not kidding. I hear they're really proud of this slogan.
They're lobbying to change the Pledge of Allegiance to...
One Nation Underdog.
That doesn't sound like a very comfortable place to be.
I want to know who has the rights. It's a small dog.
Just saying.
I wonder who has the rights to the original cartoon, because I wonder if, you know, maybe ABC Family or Toon Disney or something
point.
Would be
yeah.
able to show it to. I mean, because it's a really cool cartoon.
I remember.
So it'd be
there's
see,
no
I don't
need to fear.
It.
You don't remember? There's no need to
fear.
Underdog is here.
No, I just
he's
remember
a shoeshine boy. Get it?
Well, no, I remember. No. I remember my dad reading me the little golden book where some ice cream was stolen and he has to save it. But I don't remember watching the show. My dad says I liked it, but I don't remember.
Well, you can relive those experiences this August 4th, I believe.
Okay.
YouTube. Let's go watch some Underdog. That sounds like a good idea. One strange movie. Well, I don't. Strange is not a. Not strange, but it was interesting. Apparently, they're going to be making a movie of The Sorcerer's Apprentice starring Nicolas Cage. Has anyone heard anything about this?
Well, I heard Nicolas Cage was actually the studio's second choice. Originally, they wanted Dopey to play the part. But he was unavailable due to continued contractual obligations to Snow White and Enchanting New Musical at Disneyland. I know it closed, but it's a contract thing.
Technically.
So... So he was unavailable, so they decided, you know, he can play a flaming skull guy. Maybe he can play a
very long, long joke based upon an old, old story regarding Fantasia. I can't believe you just dragged that out into that long of a story. The fact that they were originally considering Dopey for the role, and then someone convinced him to do Mickey Mouse.
No, there might be one person that listens to the podcast that gets it, but they'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Do your Mickey Mouse meeting.
Mr. Tchaikovsky! Mr. Tchaikovsky!
I love that. I don't know.
You want me? Here's Dopey doing it.
Spot on. That was awesome.
But, okay, so The Sorcerer's Apprentice. This would be a feature-length film based upon the story of some dude who is trying to learn about how to do magic from this grumpy old man.
From what I read, it's...
In a modern setting,
yeah,
apparently.
It's a modern setting, and it's long. And it's been done before, apparently. This isn't, you know, the first time.
Yeah, we didn't create the story.
Well, no, I knew that.
Right, right.
No, I knew that part.
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well,
and hopefully it'll tie into that whole Fantasmic 2 sequence, and Nicolas Cage will be up on...
That's a scary thought. Actually, they're going to add a Nicolas Cage animatronic to a Great Movie Ride.
It all comes back.
Yeah. Some imagination, huh?
To picture him standing with that big blue hat on, that's just a very funny image.
Will he be on fire?
He doesn't catch on fire, yeah.
Those ads right now with the Ghost Rider. Is that what it is, Ghost Rider, where it's on fire all the time?
Thank you. Oh, we have so far jumped the shark.
Yeah.
So apparently we have no thoughts on this movie, and that's fine.
It sounds like it actually could be, like, could be really neat, or it could be actually, you know, has potential, but yet.
I hope it, I mean, we need to look at all Disney movies as franchises now, so maybe we could... Sorcerer's Apprentice 2000 or something. I don't know.
Do we know, is this going to be comedic or is this going to be... I mean,
I guarantee it, whether it wants to be or not.
And I mean, because like right now, the big thing with, you know, the Harry Potter, and so you've got magic and people, you know, learning about magic and whatnot. I mean, is it that kind of...
It seems like it could be
a
like
dark
a
dark fantasy thing, or...
I think it's probably more of like...
Are you
a
sure
mix.
It's not a musical? Like the original?
I doubt it. That music can only last so long.
I saw it, it lasted for 2 hours.
Are the brooms going to be CGI, or are they going to be little people? Or are they going to... What are they going to be?
I don't know.
Who would make a good Yensid?
It'll be puppets.
Yensid? Who would make a good Yensid?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Alan Rickman is Yensid.
Who's he?
Oh, he's scary.
He plays Snape in...
Oh, you know
Harry
who
Potter.
Has that sort of hairline? Michael. Michael Eisner. You know, Jensen is actually Eisner spelled Pat.
No,
it's not.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's awesome. We cannot top that. We better stop right now. That was awesome. Thanks for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I'll be laughing about that one for a while.
And I need to answer the question.
Oh,
it's very abhorrent. We can't leave the listeners hanging.
Sorry, Captain. I almost forgot the challenge. Please.
The question was, which letter ticket was required in 1958 to ride the Jungle Cruise?
Beep.
Okay, Doobie, what did you say?
What year? 1958?
Yeah.
I'm going to say D.
I'm going to go with D, too.
You are both correct.
Woohoo, double D. Do I get the medal back?
No. This was for the listeners.
Let me enjoy it for a week. I probably won't win it again.
See, I'll let the losers of the first round like tell the answer to the listeners. See, because you have the whole last half of the episode to think about your answer.
I'm insulted.
I'm a winner.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Because those are so rare.
I'm wondering, it's nice. It's red, white, and blue, and it's shiny gold.
So it's like Americana, or is that now called like Ameridaga?
It's shiny. It's shiny.
Thanks for tuning in this week.
It's shiny.
I'll let Fanboy and Rebecca continue over there. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we want to hear from you, podcast@laughingplace.com or 866-718-9408. We'd still love to hear what you believe the best Disney attraction of all time is. Is it Indiana Jones, like me and everyone else is saying?
Oh, wait.
Okay, let's not. Like me and some other people are saying?
Or some other people.
Is it something else? And?
The best song, too?
Are we still trying that? And, yeah, the only feedback we've gotten agreed with me.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'll try.
Assignment America, call in.
Help us. Do not let him go away thinking that is the best song.
And give us your feedback on Great Movie Ride, too, because I'd be interested to know.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
Actually, that would be quite interesting to know. podcast@laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. And with that, I'll just end it right there.
I've got a jar of dirt.
Come to negotiate, eh, honey, you slimy git? Look what I got. I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt. And guess what's inside? I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt.